Hey, welcome to the Crypto Sparta podcast. Brian, what number are we at?
I think we're on 14 right now.
Sweet.
We are about to get started. Let's take a look at the markets, what we're going on right now. Same thing as last week. It's kind of been brutal.
It's been
Ethereum.
crabbing. It's not down that much,
No,
but it's
no. It's sideways. It's been sideways for probably
Nice.
like 60 the past days, 60 days. So Ethereum dropped a little bit. It's at 1879.
Is it
And
really?
then
It's below 19.
yeah, it dropped below 2000 like a couple of days ago. And then Bitcoin's been holding strong, I guess. It's at 31,569.
Everything besides Bitcoin's the last bastion, though. Like, when things go down, you want it to be in Bitcoin. When things go up, you want like crazy altcoins.
Yeah. And so
Like,
like
it's the
all yeah.
opposite. Yeah, it's the cycle. I mean, they're and I want to tab that meme or the it's not even a meme, it's like a just a diagram of like money goes into Bitcoin, then you want to get riskier and you go into like Ethereum or the top 10, and then you want to like go for like the 100x and then you get into the
Yeah, it's like the transfer of money. Like
Yeah,
it
and then
starts
when
at the
things go
top.
poorly, the shitcoins go to zero because people move into Bitcoin to be safe, and then the Bitcoin people that are scared move out of Bitcoin into dollars. It's like a human centipede of money.
Yeah, it's like eating itself.
Yeah, but should we introduce our guest today?
Well, yeah, I mean we're gonna go into, what are people doing with this, sideways action. And then one of these topics that we're gonna get into is we see a lot of people starting to build more, whether it's a meme coin or building more apps. Like even though it's like going sideways, there's
And we didn't
still a
talk
lot
about
of
this
stuff
beforehand,
going
but I
on.
mean, isn't it weird that there's like a, isn't it like a SHIBX? Like, there are decentralized exchanges for shitcoins now. Like, it's
Yeah.
like a sophisticated Ponzi scheme.
No, there's definitely money to be earned in memes, but the fact is like how you're executing it, I guess, or how
I
you're
was
building
dumb
that
not
meme.
selling my Tiger King when I was 11x up.
Wait,
I was such a good person.
what is that at now? You're still up
It's
5x
at,
though?
so I put in 100, it got up to 1100, and then a week later it was at 550, and I think it's at like 330, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. I think
You're
that like
still up technically, right?
I'm still up, yeah. But like, and then that's the weird thing about the mentality where you're like, I'm up like 3.5 times.
Yeah,
And
that's
like
still
if you
pretty
talk to
good.
normal, yeah, and like in a bear market, yeah. This
GME
is
is
the
not
exact mentality I
3Xing.
think you should try to avoid when you're day trading crypto, by the way.
Yeah. And so as you can hear, we have a new guest, our dear friend, Ben Goldberger.
He's
Or
gonna introduce himself.
okay. Ben, what's up?
Yeah, happy to be here. Yeah, what's up, guys? I'm Ben. Yeah, so I'm just introduce myself. I'm high school friends with Daniel and Brian, and we go way back. These days I'm out in California. I'm a software engineer at Google. I work on some augmented reality computer vision applications. So not, totally related to crypto, but definitely some intersections there of some of the stuff happening in Decentraland and some of these metaverses these days. And yeah, besides that, I'm really excited about the future of blockchain technology. I'm not a day trader like some of you guys out here, like trying to figure out the best altcoin. But I'm really excited about, the idea of smart contracts and sort of public databases, public ledgers, the advancement of that. I do think it could be kind of that Web 3.0 idea, but definitely have some reservations. Yeah. And I love it the way that Ben has talked, and
Yeah.
I
Ben's in
wanted to
it for
tell
the tech.
people. Yeah. And then we've had different people that listen to us say, you lose some people, and especially if Brian and I start having guests, and then if we have guests like Ben, like we're gonna lose some people. But it's funny when he was talking to you guys, because Brian and I, we're not sure who listens, although it's confirmed that people around the world have listened, like buddies of mine from my MBA, in different countries have listened to a few of our podcasts, but we're sure that every week, and then we actually saw him today, Brian. We saw Nick.
Yeah, Nick is our one
to every one of our podcasts. So when we talk to the audience, a lot of the times we just address Nick Forsgren.
Yeah, Nick.
You can edit that out.
Yeah, no, we don't edit that.
But no, man, it's going to be really cool for us to be having some guests, and we'll maybe be having some of Ben's guests, friends on, and we'll be having the lawyer back on as well, my personal lawyer for crypto legal stuff. But let's go forward. And I mean, there were several topics we talked about, but Ben mentioned Decentraland, and I kind of want to start talking about Decentraland.
Yeah. Tell us, what is Decentraland?
I mean, I'm not an expert. I've been sort of digging into it. I think it's kind of interesting. You know, I've been reading like Ready Player One, the book. I saw it spilled really well. I'm not reading the book Ready Player One right now. It's kind of it's okay. I mean, I wouldn't not recommend it. Also, I was watching Space Jam 2 with Daniel the other night, and everybody was saying it was like so corporatized, horrible movie. But then I was thinking, like, man, this could be what actually becomes our reality, is literally this metaverse of corporate worlds that corporations are building for us. Right now, Decentraland is all just kind of Decentraland, right? It's a metaverse. It's a digital space where people can build whatever they want, like Minecraft. But then there's the concept of ownership added to it, real estate. Mm-hmm. But watching Space Jam 2, I was like, man, what happens when the corporations get a hold of this stuff and start building their own
virtual world? Institutions, right?
Now you're not watching a Marvel movie anymore. You're going in a Marvel movie.
You talk about decentralization, but then you realize that it's decentralized, but like, who cares if a few people own? You decentralized it, but Vitalik Buterin or Sergey Nazarov owns half the coins. And then this is the real argument that a lot of the regulators have, is that there are reasons for the guardrails on businesses and the SEC. I mean, I was watching The Wolf of Wall Street for like the millionth time as inspiration for my business ventures. The only thing you'll regret is you didn't buy more. But if it's all just a few coin holders, and then there's no government or regulator agency, the manipulation is limitless. And there are, you know, in Wolf of Wall Street, they talk about rat holes, where you're like, yeah, I own it, but I wink, wink, give it to somebody else, and I'm moving it. And I mean, if everything in crypto is like, I mean, there's so many rug pulls.
I think it's a pretty solid bet that the future is going to be some combination of Space Jam 2 and Wolf of Wall Street.
I don't think that's what LeBron was thinking when he was making the movie.
The Crypto Spartans, we're going to be like Fight Club. Like, it's going to, the Crypto Spartans, I mean, we're just living in a corporate world. And when the crypto barons, Sam Bankman-Fried will be more powerful than the barons before him.
Yeah, I think
the way that the thing is, this is peak technology, though. We're not looking at the numbers. And I mean, Brian, this is one of the topics you wanted to talk about. The technology is moving forward. The prices are going down.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, you know, what's happening you know, there's a lot of these altcoins that work is being done. It's not just, and it's not getting priced in or reflecting in the price. And that's something to like be happy about, or like be, you know, hopeful in the future for sure. You know, Solana took a big hit. It's like,
well, what everybody is, look, when, let me give you another example. When Cristiano Ronaldo in his press conference, can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
When he shit talks Coca-Cola and like puts it off to the side.
$4 billion.
And then it's like agua with the water, and they lose $4 billion. It's not like Coke became less good when that happened.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's, so it's like just like a passing.
It's the same with the stock market, right? It's no different with crypto, right? It's all public perception, you know? So,
well, and then the thing is the regulators in the United States, but I mean, the SEC is a joke.
Yeah, the and government is.
I studied business school and like we had to take ethics courses. It's like, so when you see what the ethics are on paper versus in practice, and if you watch The Wolf of Wall Street, and if you watch Elon Musk and what he does, I mean, the rules say that he could go to jail for price manipulation of different securities, in particular, his own fucking security.
Yeah, when what about said, like all the senators?
420, 420, funding secured.
Yeah.
I always like go into these digressions of like business stuff, but when he's saying that he's going to take a public company private, that is a very important statement for a financial company that has pensions and public funds involved.
Yeah.
And it's actually illegal. And you and people go to jail for less. And that's what they were going to do for John McAfee. And then, I mean, RIP, this is like a funny little side topic. John McAfee, they had him in jail in Barcelona, which is, I love Barcelona. Shout out to where I went to school. They had him under manipulation of securities because he was shilling shit coins in 2017. But back then, they actually were just giant shit coins. But now, the altcoins are like actual technology that does better than a lot of things. But it's like when you're watching The Big Short, you know, and he's like, people are defaulting. And then what's his name? You know, the
Ryan Gosling?
Steve Carroll. The Steve Carroll character.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the numbers are going down, but why aren't the rates going down?
It's
holding up this house of cards.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gives me those feelings when it comes to crypto because I'm like, I mean, 5-10 years from now, are you really going to hold back the tides? Like, seems impossible. And it's deep inevitable. Down, I have some faith that these politicians are like actually getting some crypto.
And like, not just Doge, but like actually like productive coins.
I have a feeling that there's got to be a secret crypto. And I had talked about this on my Twitter account where it was like, does anybody want to just fund me to be like a lobbyist? Like there must be a lot of money in crypto. Like if we can get it down like 1-3%, that's gotta be worth some donations to like just grease some politicians' fucking pockets or something.
Is this your advertisement to SBF to be a lobbyist for FTX?
What if you create a altcoin where you literally airdrop every single politician X percent of that coin? And then you just incentivize all the politicians to make laws for you.
Yeah. And then we
just take possibility.
You call it lobby coin. You call it lobby coin.
Lobby coin. This is genius. Hey.
Oh, and then you pay the lobbyists.
This is the real alpha.
You're paying senators in lobby coin instead of USD.
Untraceable. Yeah. But the thing is, you know what? These politicians, they already know how to like do untraceable, like whatever.
That's
like
gold. They do inside trader all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the Nancy Pelosi thing?
Untradeable.
Well, that was fake. Yeah. That was fake news.
Was it fake news?
But the guy for the
Her husband traded on things that she was going to.
But no, that guy was on that Microsoft contract, that Jedi contract. He knew that they were going to reject Microsoft, and then he sold his Microsoft like back in June, and then in July they announced that.
No, but then they bought Amazon when it was ruled that President Trump had tampered with the bidding process because he didn't like Jeff Bezos. It's like he's petty, and then they were like,
yeah,
no, it should have been judged off of the merits, and they like proved that he had like put his finger on the scales to go against Amazon.
But, you know, moving on, it was like...
Should we move towards NFTs?
Well, didn't I mean Ben wanted to talk about like
solidity? Yeah, we need to explain to the audience out there. Explain to Nick what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is the main thing that's been on my mind. I've been learning Solidity. I've been working on a few projects, a few Ethereum contract projects, trying to learn how to code it. And, you know, learning it, I think for me, has been equal parts really interesting and fascinating and terrifying.
Isn't it like hitting your head against the wall? I had another buddy.
No, I wouldn't say it is, because so here's the deal.
But learning you gotta, like, start at square one. Brian and I have the issue that we get too nerdy,
and Ben is like going way over.
I'm giving you the software engineer.
Start basic. Normal. Start basic for the average everyday person.
Yeah. So ultimately, what is Solidity, right? Essentially, Solidity is a new programming language, okay, that you can use to write conditions. If else, loops of statements where you loop over various conditions. It's essentially a way to programmatically do things repetitively.
These are smart contracts.
It's like any other.
So program. Many people don't understand smart contracts, so Ben, you really got to go for the listener that's out there that like really wants it basic. Because Brian and I, we get criticisms that we like kind of people tune out because we get too nerdy. Can you like really explain it basic?
Well, yeah. It's a programming language to build.
What it is just a way to put logic. If else, then. If, you know, what's a good example? I mean, if I get 21 in blackjack, then I win this amount of money, right? It's if else, then for loops logic on the blockchain that everybody can look at and that can't be changed, right? But fundamentally, it's very similar to any programming language that I've done in my past. I've spent a lot of my time as a web developer writing like JavaScript. You know, when you're going through a website and something is dynamic to what you do, if you click on a button or you like something hovers, when you hover over a navigational menu, Solidity actually was designed with like that in mind. And it's actually, when you write it, it's very similar to what you would write for logic to show shit on a website. And on one hand, it was like fascinating. So I'm like, man, this language is, for somebody like me who's a software engineer, it's very easy to learn and very easy to pick up. It's not that hard. But on the other hand, it's terrifying because I know that I can stare at code for hours and hours, and then somebody just in a second points out a bug in my code that breaks everything that I didn't notice before. Like for me, it was working, but for them, they realize it's not working. So for me, it's terrifying in a way that it's so easy to pick up, because that means it's also is victim to all the bugs that I've written in my code. And how is it even possible to write Solidity code in a way that's secure, given it's so similar to all these other languages?
And we had talked about how when it's on the blockchain, it's kind of immutable, where you can't really backtrack and edit as so much. Or if you're like,
you kind of have to write it over or like,
yeah, if you're in control of the software. And then that's why there's these exploitations that just, and then this is some of the news where typically we like to do like, you know, topical stuff that's relevant, but ThorChain had an exploitation where they got like 9 million taken. And I mean, the week before it was Mark Cuban, like every week there's like some famous rug pull. There was like Floki that went in and out, and it's like,
yeah,
there's just money flowing around in shady ways. And like, there's the sandwich attacks that I think we talked about in a previous episode that are super complicated, but
dude, they're still fixing zero-day bugs in Chrome. Zero-day meaning it was there since the day it was written. They're still finding and fixing zero-day issues, bugs, fundamental issues in Chrome, in Windows, in Mac operating system, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, they can go back and fix it. With Ethereum, you can't go back and fix it. So when I was first starting to learn this, I'm like, man, this is genius. It's amazing how powerful this language is. But now I'm like, man, it almost doesn't make sense that like everything is based on this concept of creating a immutable piece of code on the blockchain that you can't change, because you are never going to be able to get around the fact that there are going to be bugs.
Yeah. Well, that's why they have audits, right? The safety audits and that sort of thing, companies auditing your code, making sure that everything is safe. and whatnot.
They audited the, what was it, the 777 or the Boeing 7X7 Max? And
you know, yeah, the safety issues.
Where there is code, there are bugs. And now I'm like, man, what does that mean for the future of these programmable blockchains?
So I'm trying to look it up on my phone, but I don't think I'll find it. But there was a funny message where it was a girl being like upset and saying, hey, so we wrote a contract. And then, you know how these like tokens that aren't really like, it's like a community token. It doesn't really have any utility. And she was like, but we promised not to rug pull. So we were going to, did you see this one, Brian?
No, I didn't.
Where it was like, we're not going to rug pull. We're going to lock our tokens for like 5 years. But like they like missed some zeros.
Oh, and I did see it. They put it in milliseconds instead of seconds. So they ended up locking it in for like 6,000 years or something. And no one can access like the token.
I've done that same mistake millions of times. I've like stuff I'm working on milliseconds for seconds.
It's like Office
Space. And that's my plan, right?
Ethereum. I guess I missed a zero.
Ethereum, it's like you're writing JavaScript. It's like subject to the same types of bugs I've been writing in my code. Trust me, there will be bugs.
Yeah.
That's my point. It doesn't matter how many audits you run.
Yeah.
There will be bugs. Maybe a better language is what you need. I'm not convinced Solidity is that language.
Yeah. So. And I mean, but the thing is, it's going to have a huge first mover advantage. It's a giant one. And then like, it's so weird where Jack Dorsey is like, he's like, we're going to run DeFi through Bitcoin. It's like, wait, you just want to make up Ethereum?
Yeah, Ethereum.
Like there's already Ethereum. Like there's so many things where you're gonna be like, I mean, maybe. And like, I mean, I've got this buddy of mine in India who wants me to work with him, and he's looking to program on Cardano, but like they haven't gotten the smart contracts yet. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, but it's funny how like people tweet about like, oh, they basically describe, you know, what smart contracts are, and like, well, wouldn't it be cool to have a technology like this? And it's like they're already, it's already out there.
Yeah.
Like there's Chainlink, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and then there's
Chainlink is interoperable with all types of blockchains.
Everyone, right? Every single one of them different.
I've been learning about Chainlink. By the way, I think that's super fascinating.
It's the
Sergey is like
we're deep into the Chainlink. We're deep into Chainlink.
I simp for Sergey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to this long podcast.
With Lex Fridman?
Yeah, he's so smart.
He's just, but we've talked about it before, and super cool because Ben hasn't listened to our podcasts. It's annoying. It's almost like Ben, like,
yeah, what kind of friend are you?
Yeah, dude, we've already covered this, Ben.
Yeah, once you get Sergey on here, I'll definitely listen.
Hey,
he's next.
Never
month.
Say never. Never say never.
My personal assistant, Manya. Shout out, Manya. I hope she listens to this, but I don't know. I might just make them listen to it.
You're the boss.
But yeah, she's got to start scheduling people. And we're looking to schedule Quinn as well. We might as well mention his name. And you can tell him how it is to... You can see how the podcast goes, you know? It's a free-flowing... We have some good info, and we still didn't get to the NFTs. And what I wanted to ask... Ryan, if you can look up the info, but it'll be difficult to, but I'm quite sure I know the ones. For the main NFT projects, dude, isn't it 4 ETH minimum? Isn't the floor for Bored Apes 4 ETH?
I mean, it's pretty high. I know for Bored Ape Yautkub, that's like the top, like the most popular one out there. I can look at OpenSea.
Is it a million?
$1 million.
And I think that we need to explain to like the audience how to really navigate OpenSea or what OpenSea even is about. Because it's a really great time in a bear market,
yeah.
Like we talked about, Brian, when the ETH is down and the gas fees are low. It's a great time for NFTs.
Yeah,
for
because it goes by ETH. It's priced in by ETH. So yeah.
It's an alternate. It's an ETH-driven economy. It's not about dollars, which is so weird because you're like, wow, all of this art,
and all of these digital collectibles are priced in ETH, and ETH has dropped in half, but they're still the same price. Like, at some point, don't you think that, and it's a really interesting thing for me as like a business student and economist type studier, what is going to happen with the currency valuations? There has to be a balancing out when everybody thinks the dollar is going to go down. And then, but the dollar is holding up against the other fiat currencies. But crypto is getting hammered. There's going to be regulation. There's going to be CBDCs. But how can an art piece that was worth twice as much because it's priced in ETH be worth half as much?
Like 5 years
if I have dollars, why don't I buy it at half price? Like, I don't have ETH. I don't live in ETH. I mean, I personally live in ETH.
Normie people do not live
In ETH. If you have just dollars, I mean, if you're just running in fiat, why not get expensive? But then this is the weird thing where the value of ETH goes down. The overall value of some of these NFTs are going up.
Yeah, it's kind of weird where it's like, you know, the art hasn't changed, you know, whether the art is, you know, those characteristics are changed. It's just the way the market is. It's like another factor where like it's 0.5 ETH, you know, the art is still good, but it's just in a bad market time.
I think it's so flooded right now. I mean, you're going to recommend people pick up NFTs like, okay, yeah, sure. You get on ones that already have the hype.
No, change. There's knockoffs. There's knockoffs too. So you got to be wary.
But I gotta be a dick to Ben. Come on, dude. Do you know about these very rare and specific communities of NFTs where the price has been shooting through the roof? Do you follow the Bored Ape market? The Bored Apes have been doubling every few months. You could have gotten a Bored Ape for less than an ETH, like I think 6 months ago. And now they're 4 ETH. Like,
I mean, there's still some that are under an ETH, but I'm sure they're...
Are they legitimate? No, they're probably fakes.
Yeah, it's on OpenSea. It's like verified. No.
How are they fakes? Can you explain to me how they're fakes? I actually didn't know about that.
They're not fakes, but like there's ripoff, you know, crypto punks, and there's crypto funks.
Yeah.
And so they basically look the same.
Brian, the legit Bored Apes, none of them go for less than 3.2 ETH, I'm sure.
Look on OpenSea right now.
You're showing it to me. I know. I don't believe that's a real one. Is it?
It's verified. Bored Ape Yacht Club. I'm on their social on their club.
How do you confirm it? Because this is an interesting thing for me because it has to be minted from a certain like address or something, or how do you track that the generative NFTs are?
So on Bored Ape, like similar to, you know, Instagram or Twitter, they get verified. There's a verified account for the Bored Ape Yacht Club.
One's for 5 ETH.
There are some. If you go on, people are selling. You can go to the ones that are listed, and you go to recently listed. You sort by price, low to high. And so, you know, there are some that are on sale.
Maybe they were just LARPing on Twitter.
The floors. There was one entity who minted all of the Bored Apes at one time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is that how it happened?
You aren't that entity.
That was like same with...
This is the whole idea of NFTs, right? You can't claim you're the entity that minted them.
Well, the thing is, like the blue cats, you can mint them. You could have minted them afterwards.
No, there's two different ways you could do it. Like Ben said, you can have like the owner mint all of them and then sell them on OpenSea, or you can like have their website and mint them yourself, and like it'll randomly generate an NFT. But I think the minting cost was like 0.05 ETH.
Yep.
But, you know, so going back to what...
I fucking was so upset when I didn't get the Mooncats. I tried because Crypto Dog tweeted it. And then within 40 minutes, there was like 21,000 that were minted. It was like one of the earliest. I still want to buy one. But the Mooncats are dumb and the Crypto Punks are dumb. But I mean, they're rare and they're one of the first. That's kind of why they're like how they are. So, I mean, maybe I can take a moment to explain to people the idea of auto-generative and rarity. The thing about it is people wonder why things are rare and like there's provenance in terms of like collectibles. But these certain collectible digital NFTs had certain odds of having certain traits, such as a hat or a cigar. And then if you had a 5% chance of a hat and a 3% chance of a cigar, and then you had a hat and a cigar, it's very, very rare. And it's like, it's actually kind of elegant because it has to deal with the programming and the technology.
And it's random too.
Yeah, it's random. And you're like, why is this one rare? And it's like, because it was programmed to have only certain percentages and you happen to get this one off a randomly generated minted NFT.
It's like a lottery.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But going back to that, like Bored Ape that I was looking at, that, you know, you could bid, it was like 0.5. If you look at like the transaction history, like it got sold for three ETH. Like then it got sold to like 5.75 ETH. So
do they take a cut?
OpenSea does. OpenSea takes 3%, I believe.
Yeah, there's like a
does the original Mintor take a cut?
It depends. You can set it up that way.
I'm just wondering for Bored Ape, do you guys know?
No.
I don't know for Bored Ape. But there's like all these other ones. Like
there's a lot of ways to do it because I was like, I didn't want to mint them myself when I was gonna do my NFTs because it was like fucking like $200 to mint something.
Well, that was when ETH was high, right?
Yeah. And when also the network was super congested. And I'm quite sure that they've done, it's not like, I mean, we had talked about it before where Brian, they were saying that there was going to be like the sharding or this and that, that Ethereum was going to have hard forks. And I don't know what they did, or maybe there's no traffic, but the gas prices are low. And
I've been dabbling in the NFT market, like I said before. I bought a Mona NFT. I minted a Shiba dog. like it's fun to do. I mean, 0.05 ETH to mint, like when ETH is low, it's like $100, $100+.
I saw a tweet the other day and Gary Vaynerchuk was like, I think I'm just going to be a full-time NFT flipper.
Well, that's
like, is that a thing? Like, that's so.
Well, but Justin, I was like, Simon has just been buying like NFT versions of like Picasso, like just Picasso in the NFT form.
And it's an interesting thing, and maybe it'd be good to talk about it with the lawyer about how there's like certain ways that like NFTs can be used as like fucking money laundering.
No shit.
Because it's like fake things. It's like, I'm going to assign value to this fake thing and then sell it to someone in a foreign country. And then, oh, my buddy in the foreign country. Yeah, I really think his NFT is worth $5 million. So I'm going to send $5 million over there. And then the government is like, dude, like, I heard you have a $5 million NFT. And it's like, no, it isn't actually worth anything.
I got fucked. Like, I got
ruined. Yeah. And I mean, how can you count depreciation on NFT?
I'm going to take that as a loss.
I got to like look at like the legal or like the accounting stuff. Well, you can say
the same thing about any collectible, like a baseball card or a Magic the Gathering card or a Pokemon card or a Beanie Baby. You know, these aren't things that are new to society. They're just sort of the possibilities are being expanded. And then
this is the funny thing. This is totally the idea of like, and I'm like, I like horseshoe theory of politics where it's like the left and the right, you know, if you go far enough, they're kind of like on the same, like, but I don't know. I forget about politics, but the libertarian idea of just like being able to like transact and say this and that or whatever, and how the government is always going to try to tax you. If you can send stuff and then say that you've lost it, then you can't get taxed. And then that's a big thing in crypto where it's like, oh, I lost my Bitcoin in a boating accident. Like all of my gold.
I lost my wallet.
Like, I bought an NFT that's worth nothing.
I'm going to take it as a loss and report it as a loss.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
That's when Janet Yellen is like, Bitcoin has started and is and always will be a way to circumvent traditional. But yeah. And then you start getting into like, oh, they're watching Facebook, like, get the tinfoil, bro.
That is an interesting point, I think.
And I mean, Bitcoin has always been like a thing where it's like, you want to avoid, it was no, yeah, I mean.
Well, when the hackers, when they hacked like the pipeline and they hacked like the meat, that meat company, they want to get painted Bitcoin. Like, that just gives, you know, it a bad name.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, trying to circumvent traditional finances.
You can't stop it.
No.
But I was going to say, should we touch on, I didn't even think to touch on it, but should we touch on how we all went to Miami together? And we can revisit those memories and then also talk about how Bitcoin people are also anti-vaxxers and it was a super spreader event.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get anything. I don't know if you guys got anything on the way back, but I was completely fine afterwards.
But Brian and I had reminisced upon it, and maybe Ben can talk about how the Bitcoin conference went for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, I'm somebody who's pretty new to the space. I've been keeping tabs, haven't really jumped in from an investor perspective. Well, I'm in now, but like a couple months ago, I wasn't really in. It's very hard at an event like that to not drink the Kool-Aid. The excitement is palpable and there's so much positive energy going around. You know, it's very hard. And I'm not going to lie, I drank some of the Kool-Aid. And that's not to say that's bad Kool-Aid. That's going to hurt me in the long run. It might really benefit me in the long run. It's like almost cult vibes out there.
They were doing the Bitcoin baptisms.
This was the first like Bitcoin event I've been to, or crypto event I've been to. So, and at the same time, like I think that's kind of what it needs. Like it's all about perception. We were just talking about this, and it needs to be a little culty. This is the Bitcoin maximalist thing.
I think crypto itself is like pretty culty, where you have to deep dive and like go off the edge and get, you know, search 4chan and all these like, you know, conspiracy theory sites to get info.
Well, people need to believe. That's
yeah, exactly.
That's people what I was don't talking about it, though, it where I was like, on. Is it any surprise that the same people who are like, Ron Paul, like, fuck the government.
Free market.
Free market.
No Bitcoin, regulation.
Like, no taxes. All those people were unvaccinated and it was a super spreader. Are you surprised?
I don't know. I mean, I think probably what 10% of people were unvaccinated, and
no more than that. We were vaccinated. No, there were more people that weren't. Like, they just don't care in Miami either. Like it's Florida stuff.
It's free. You're infringing on my freedom to breathe.
But I mean, on the flip side, I don't know. This is like not relevant, but Florida and Texas seem like the freest places, and I've seen some crazy stuff in like the UK. And I mean, it's kind of relevant when you see people clamping down on Bitcoin and cryptos when the governments of like certain countries are like, you can and can't do this. You're going to get kicked off of social media if you say this or that.
Well, the funny thing is crypto Twitter is having a fun at like the Prime Minister of France. Like he's forcing, or like they're forcing people to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know, if you, you know, don't show your, you know, vaccination passport, or you let people in, you could get like a year in prison, or like, you know, get 45,000 fine. So crypto Twitter.
45,000?
Yeah. Like euros. Like, they're having
a lot of money.
Yeah. They're having talking about how he's a fool for, you know, controlling. It's like government control, basically. Okay.
Yeah. But, no, right. Man. I mean, feel like it's like good to talk with Ben and get like the technical perspective. But we can indoctrinate Ben as always with some shills. I mean, Brian, do you want to start out with the shills? Do you want to explain the shills to Ben?
Yeah. So at the end of every episode, we just like to, you know, highlight a coin or a project that we're really high on.
For an investment, like, you know, if you got money, you should do this.
Yeah.
Not financial advice. Right?
Not financial advice.
Not legal advice. Yeah.
No.
Oh, we almost missed it. We always say that.
Yeah.
Wow, Ben, good
we,
one.
We just think it's a given, but we are not. We are not qualified people to give financial advice.
This is not financial, not financial advice.
Or... not financial advice, but like, dude.
Yeah, do it. But like, honestly.
And I'm going to be honest, hey, that's my, dude, Chainlink, so undervalued.
Yeah, it's like 15 insane. Right now.
15, what the fuck?
So a lot of projects, like keep, I don't know, I would just put my money into things that, you know, I know they're growing and it's just not reflected in the price right now. So basically anything, anything that you've previously had, you know, high.
It's like weird because high on. The Bitcoin dominance hammers everything.
Yep.
And so if you see any news of something that you think is positive, it will not be reflected in the price. There are projects that are doing well and there are projects that are doing nothing. But I mean, also it's like bizarro world, dude. Maybe like Shiba Inu is going to bounce back like harder than everything. It's so,
I mean, Doge might have the might have utility, man. If everyone starts Metcalfe's law, network effect.
Hey, well, I invested in dogememes.com. Invest in memes. If Elon, if you're listening, I got Doge memes. We're building the website this week. 1 billion Doge is the asking price.
That's Daniel's.
Although Doge is at like what, 17 cents now?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Last time I checked, it was like at 20 cents.
It's kind of in the dumps.
Well, it's better than it was.
Yeah,
it's at 18 cents. So Ben,
I had it below a penny. And then I had it for 3 cents and then sold at like 7. And then like, you think you're smart, but you're dumb, but like, you're actually smart. Like, dude, like I made money off of Doge, but like, you're like, oh, and then that was, that was the news too. The Doge guy was all salty. And it's like, bro, we get it. You could have been a billionaire. Like, sorry.
Tough luck.
Yeah. He's like, it's manipulated by rich people. And it's like, man. Yeah,
everything
you're the creator of Doge. You could have been a billionaire. Why didn't you hold on to your coins, you fucking idiot? But what's Ben's shills? Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm not really too much. I don't really like to try to play the highs and lows, but just because I'm more interested in technical. I think if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have been like, yo, Ethereum all the way. It's so much more interesting than Bitcoin in terms of what I can do.
We didn't even touch on the Solana and the parachain stuff, but
that's okay. I think my underlying point would be that, like, now having learned Solidity and I still have so much excitement for the idea of smart contracts, but the fundamental concern I have for the underlying possibility for bugs in the code, I think I would almost say, like, I don't know if I'm bullish on Ethereum long term anymore because something might come along that does what Ethereum does, but better. And then there goes Ethereum, you know?
So yeah, he's shilling ETH killer.
I think an ETH killer is going to come. I don't have an ETH killer to promote.
Yep.
My point would be the only option then after you say it's going to be ETH killer.
ETH is not perfect.
He is Bitcoin. It's just, that's the only thing that's safe from an ETH killer.
No,
right?
It's not. No, it's not. Oh my gosh. I think Bitcoin is going to go down and ETH will eventually get taken over. And then the thing is, they said, okay, what are they going to be the top 10 coins in 5 years? And then like, I saw one person that I agreed with where it was like number one coin yet to be invented. Number two coin, China's central CBDC, central bank denominated coin or whatever. Yeah. And it's like number three, the US one, number four, the Euro, whatever.
Libra. Facebook's exactly. coin.
Yeah, the Facebook one. And then he was like, number six is Link. And then like,
wow, listen to this dude. He's clearly right about it.
Well, he was like, the first one is not to be invented yet. Seriously, the best coin in the future is not invented.
Yeah, I agree. With all this innovation.
Yeah,
I agree, but I still think the one that's most likely to be around in 20 years is Bitcoin. Still,
Chainlink. Yeah.
Chainlink too, yeah.
Not Bitcoin. Bitcoin's technology is whack.
EIP 1559.
Dude, Bitcoin will still be around, but it won't be number one.
Yeah, I think we'll slowly like wean off of being Bitcoin
dominant. Bitcoin dominance. It'll be great. Like, but I'm waiting for it, but it's not. And then that's the whole shilling idea.
Bitcoin is going to be more cockroachy than Ethereum at the end of the day, I think.
I agree.
We have it.
Ethereum relies on its technology and it will get overtaken. But Bitcoin will also get overtaken. I mean, when, Ben, do you believe in the flipping when Ethereum flips Bitcoin?
This is the first time I've heard of that, but
total market cap.
So if you pair Bitcoin and ETH right now,
a month ago I would have said yes. I think eventually there will be a flippening towards platforms that have native smart contract capabilities built into them. But I think I'd say there's a greater than 50% chance that it's not ETH that does that. It's another.
What if?
Is it Cardano?
I say that.
Do you understand the idea of layer two? What if ETH is the substructure and then people build on top of ETH as layer two solutions like Matic?
I don't see why that would happen. I think.
Why not?
The problems I have with ETH are fundamental to the structure, right? So if you build a structure on top of ETH, I don't think that solves the fundamental issues I see. I don't think the scalability issues, I think that Ethereum is going to solve the scalability issues and the resource and environmental issues. I think they're going to solve that. I think the problem is
EIP
that code has bugs and somebody's going to need to fix that or come up with a way to allow smart contracts
we should get, to get written we should without get, we should being get,
bugs, immutable bugs in the ledger.
We should get Ben back in after like a month or two after he looks into like Phantom and Solana and Polkadot. And Avalanche.
I think Polkadot is really interesting what they're doing.
Yeah.
We got into a Polkadot party.
Those are some good empanadas.
Yeah.
Shout out delicious, Hartwood. Delicious if he's gin, listening. Guava gin cocktails. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Polkadot folks?
Yeah.
PokeSwap party.
PokeSwap. Yeah.
Well, on that note. Thanks for tuning in. That was episode 14 of the Crypto Sparta podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you, Nick, very much. We're forever grateful. Peace.